Praise the Lord. Good morning. Praise the Lord. As I prepare messages, sometimes I look at old notes. And this series was born out of some notes that I had written in 2006. But at the time, I only wrote it as a message, not as a series of messages. And as I was preparing a few weeks ago, I saw that these notes on saying no to Jesus was actually a series of messages, and that's probably why I never delivered it before, because I wasn't doing series at the time. It was just message after message. And I got to realizing that sometimes God has us prepared for things long before we would ever expect to need to be prepared. And He started this, as I said, in 2006, and here it is, 2019, 13 years later, and He's got me delivering messages from that set of notes. And that was just the start. Now He's shown me where He wants me to go with it. Like then, He didn't show me where He wanted me to go with it. He's shown me now. He's given me several messages in advance. And this is one of those messages. He gave this to me 2 weeks ago. And as I put the notes together, I fine-tuned it a little bit, but it was basically all there. When I was preparing for the message last week, I was also preparing for this message. And so I praise Him that He gives that like that. It's just like the ceiling. You know, He did that. I couldn't do it. He did it. And He does the same thing with the messages. You know, our Lord said, if you love Me, you will keep My commandments. That's what He said. And it's also written in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Now, by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. Those who say, I know Him, and do not keep His commandments, are liars. And the truth is not in them. This is what the Apostle John, the one who refers to himself as the one that the Lord loved, the one who was close to Jesus, the one who was right there next to Him, said, if we say we know Him, but we don't keep His commandments, we're liars. And so as followers of Christ, what do we do? Do we just say, well, He didn't really mean that, right? Or do we live our lives by the commandments of Christ? This is really important. It's important for us to realize that this is real. This is not something imagined. And when we don't follow His commandments, it's equal to saying no, like an obstinate child to our Lord. No! You know, and we don't think about it like that. We just think, well, I'm just going to do my thing. Or we don't even think it like that. We just do our thing, whatever it is, opposite what the Lord says. And it's nothing new or different. Him saying, keep My commandments. That's not new. Our Creator's always instructed obedience. Always. What Yeshua taught was nothing short of what's written in the Scriptures of the Old Testament. He taught the Old Testament. He said it was a fulfillment of the Old Testament. Hear what's written in Exodus chapter 20. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. Any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that's in the earth beneath, or that's in the water under the earth, you shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Who can say God's a jealous God? God's a jealous God. Okay? Yeah, we don't want to hear that, but it's true. He's jealous. He's jealous of His people. He does not want us to be turning to anything else. Doesn't want us idolizing anything. And He says He visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate Me. Hate Me. Who hates Him? Those who don't follow His commandments. This is what He's talking about here, okay? He says, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love Me and keep My commandments. You see the connection? Love and commandments, obeying the commandments, come together. Jesus said, if you love Me, you will keep My commandments. The Father said, He visits, what? What's He do? He tells us, shows mercy to thousands, to those who love Him and keep His commandments. And so we can't get out of it. It's Old Testament, it's New Testament, it's the same thing. Okay? We are given instructions in God's Word, and we are to say yes to whatever it is that God says. and we say no to whatever the enemy says. We resist the devil and he flees. He must flee. It's a requirement. He's not authorized to go beyond our resistance. We have been authorized. We've been given power over all the power of the enemy. That's what God's Word says. It makes it very clear. So I know from the time that I've been spending fasting and praying that God has a very specific plan for His people and for His places, His houses like this of worship. He wants something. And we simply need to say yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Again, I look at the ceiling and say, well, that wasn't exactly what I thought. But you know what? God said that's what He wants because that's what He made happen. And I said, yes, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I have to say, sadly, that idolatry and failing to keep commandments is normal practice today in much of what's known as the Christian church. We don't want to do what God wants. We want to do what we want. We set up our own rules. We set up our own. We establish our own boundaries. We say what we do. And the message today is about uniting the hands and feet. Uniting the hands and feet. And as we go forward, we have to look as Christ is the head. He's the shepherd. And your pastor and all pastors, whether they realize it or not, are the under-shepherds of Christ. They're given specific duties, specific instructions, specific parameters and responsibilities within which to operate. Some of them step over those boundaries. And because of that, then we have this whole other movement to take the shepherd out of the role of leadership and place the congregation in the role of leadership. And this has hurt many churches because now the sheep are running the shepherd. And that's not the natural order of things. But God's turned that around. He's turned it around in a lot of places. And now we look and we say, okay, what are we to do, Lord? He's the shepherd. And if you have an under-shepherd who's following the shepherd, you have no worries. You have no concerns. You have no trouble because God will be in control. So we look at the Word of God and we say, okay, are we going to say yes to the shepherd or are we going to say no to the shepherd? If we follow His rules, we follow His commandments, we're saying yes to the shepherd. And it's easy for us to think that we do obey His commandments. I've said this before. It's easy for us to think, well, we do, but then when we look at the Word of God, and we look at, do we line up with that? Are we really doing what the Word of God says? Are we really obeying the commandments of that one that we call Jesus? It's important to think about that because many are guilty of refusing to obey Him today. And today we're going to see some more ways that we can say no to our Lord. And the point of looking at the ways we say no is so that we individually and corporately can learn to say yes. And we say yes to Jesus, not no. So if you will, open your Bible to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. You'll find that on page 1767 in your seat there, in the Bible in your seat. Page 1767, we're going to look at the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and we're going to begin at verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. And this is what's written there. For as the body is one, and has many members. Members as parts there, not members as, you're joining something. But all the members, or all the parts of that one body, being many, are one body. We all have fingers, we all have toes, we all have eyes and ears and noses. And so also is Christ, he says. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Regardless of our background, regardless of our nationality, whether we're Jews or Greeks, whether we're slaves or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body's not one member, but many. It's not just one part, it's a lot of parts. For if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Can a foot cut itself off? I'm not part of that body. No, obviously the answer is no. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Well, come on, the answer's no there also. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, all the parts, in the body, just as He pleased. So if you're not happy with what part you're playing in the body, you got to take it up with God. And you got to thank Him that He's using you at all, that He's brought you into the body. Okay? That's just, these are all just side notes, folks. And if they're all one member, where would the body be? If we were all the same, it wouldn't be a body. Just be one big eye or one big ear. You know, all the stuff wouldn't be getting done that needs to be getting done in the body of Christ. But now indeed, there are many parts, yet one body. And the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Think about that the next time somebody bugs you in the body of Christ. And you say, you are necessary. You are necessary in the body, each and every one of us, okay? If the weakest members are necessary, so are the rest of us. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body. Pay attention there. No schism. The word schism, no division, no dividing, no separation in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member's honored, all the members are rejoicing with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? Certainly not. Are all teachers? Don't even think it. Are all workers of miracles? Doesn't happen. Do all have gifts of healings? Obviously not. Do all speak with tongues? Clearly no. Do all interpret? Obviously the answer there is also no. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And that's where we'll pause our first reading. Here's Paul writing to the Corinthian church, and he's saying, we are one body. We're one body. And we're all individual parts. And those parts work together as a body. And sometimes when we think about Christ's family that meets in this building, we may not think about us as individual parts of the body. But we are. We're all parts of that body. And in order to work in harmony, we have to say yes to the one who created us. We need to say yes to our Lord and not no. We who authentically believe in the Messiah of God are joined together spiritually into one body. One body, not multiple bodies. And so much of this world today is bent on dividing and separating and disuniting. And we have to stand firmly against that. We must. It's absolutely critical because everything in the world is going to try to destroy every part of the body of Christ. And this is why I pray for our marriages, for example. Because there is a divisive spirit in the land today that will try to get between us and separate us from one another. And we need to be united in our marriage. And some of you know we've talked about this even recently. You think about it, we're baptized into that one body by the Holy Spirit. We're not doing it ourselves. We don't get to go in on our own. We're baptized in. We are overwhelmed. We are completely, fully covered into the body. We're fully absorbed into the body by the Holy Spirit. That's what God's Word tells us. We're totally submerged. And the Holy Ghost is the glue that holds us together. How many of us have ever heard of that word laminin? It is a glycoprotein. It's a cell adhesion glycoprotein that holds all the cells in our bodies together. And do you know what it looks like under a microscope? It looks like a cross. This is scientific. It's not me making it up. Now, it's not a straight up and down cross like you're used to seeing on people's neck or on walls or whatever. But laminin is that glue that holds the cells together in the human body. And the Holy Ghost is like that. He holds us together. He's the glue that holds us together. If in fact we are blood bought, paid for by the sacrifice of Christ, we are united by the Holy Spirit. If in fact we truly believe in Almighty God as our Father, then the Holy Spirit holds us together. And any infighting among the members of Christ's body, whether it's in a fellowship like this or among the greater body of Christ, any division is not of God. It's not. I don't care what anybody says. I'll stand in their face and I'll tell them. I'm not just boldly preaching because I'm in a pulpit. I will tell, and I have told people, division is not of God. It's absolutely not. He wants His body to be united. Christ, in His great and magnificent prayer that we find in John chapter 17, said, God, let them be one. Father, let them be one as You and I are one. Let them be in harmony. Let them be in unity. Because He saw it. He saw it coming. He saw when the devils would come in and separate the body of Christ. When those savage wolves would come in and they'd build walls between this group and that group and the other group. And then they'd have their own doctrine. And they'd have their own traditions. And they'd have their own flavor of Christianity. God says, no more. No more. And certainly isn't happening here in Christ's family that meets in this building. That's not a part of this. It's not division. And whenever we see division, we address it immediately. We have to. It's not of God. It's of the enemy. This infighting has got to go. And this is equal to saying no to Jesus. We don't want Your unifying spirit. We don't want what You want. We want what we want. Saying no to Jesus. That's what's happening. And that's why the body of Christ is so sick. That's why the body of Christ is so weak today. That's why we see things that are happening in our world today that could have been addressed a long time ago, because the body of Christ sat on its hands and said, no, we don't want to work together. That's the truth of it. It's a serious, serious problem in the church today. Long ago, goats and wolves, disguised as sheep, slipped in. They slipped into the church. They slipped in unaware, and they tricked real believers into letting them, the goats and the wolves, run things. That's what happened. That's the truth of it. When you look at the Word of God, He warns, Paul warns, Jesus warned, wolves are going to come. I know, whenever I'm gone, they're going to slip in. They're going to try to scatter you. And all through the Scriptures, you see where the wolves were scattering and dividing and separating the body of Christ from the very beginning. And I think it's time that we unite, that the true body of Christ, the true believers in the one that Almighty God sent to bring healing to the world, I believe it's time for us to unite under His banner, not our own. Not under our label, not under our flavor, not under our traditions, not under our will or our way, not under whatever it is we think we need, but what He wants, what He needs for us to do for Him in the building of His kingdom. Christians say no to our Lord by allowing those Christ-centered colleges to be taken over by those with forked tongues to build the imaginary walls that divide the body. I was surprised. I heard about these seminaries. There's pastors that belong to this flavor of Christianity or that flavor, this denomination or that denomination. I'm starting to call them demonic nations. They're not godly nations. And they go to the same school. They go to the same theological seminary. Oh, yeah, I went to that. Well, I did too. Remember so-and-so? Yeah, I remember so. How does that happen? How does a school, a theological school, so-called, how does it teach people to be divided when the body of Christ is supposed to be united? Tell me that. Help me understand, because I don't understand. If anybody watching this, anybody hearing this, anybody seeing right now, I want to know how. I want to know how somebody can teach you one way and teach you another way, and you go out into the world and you teach everybody else to go separate ways instead of one in Christ. That's what I want to know. I want an answer to that question, and I can't get it. Because it's not in the Word of God. Because if I follow the Word of God, I will stand on the Word of God. And I say, well, wait a minute, God's Word says we're one body, one Lord. We're not a separate, you're not this and that and the other. Break down those walls. Get rid of them. It's an abomination to Almighty God. We're criticized because we're independent. Well, I'll tell you what, I think the independent church is the church. And there are people that belong to the real church, that are in the real church, that are going to different types of churches, different types of associations. Long ago, Christianity was divided. Harmony of believers with Christ as the head is His way. It's His way. Division and disunity and disharmony and division is HaSatan's way. That's the Hebrew word for Satan. HaSatan. That's His way. That's not God's way. That's not our Creator's way. Division, disunity, disharmony? No. That's not His way. Let's open our Bibles to the fourth chapter of Ephesians. And Connie and I didn't talk about this, by the way. She brought this devotion from the fourth chapter this morning. We haven't talked about this message. God knew. Ephesians chapter 4, you'll find that on page 1798 in the Bible there in your seats. And we're going to start at verse 1. Page 1798. I, Paul is speaking here, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep what? The unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, till we all come to the unity of the faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. There's no other head in the church. Christ is the head. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I almost chose a bulletin cover that had love on the cover for today. Then I realized how great is our God. He unifies. We're all different backgrounds, There's no way that we can do what God can do. He is great beyond our imagination. He can bring unity to His body. Whether it's those who meet in this building, those who come along online, whether it be through the Facebook ministry or the online ministry with sermonaudio.com, He builds His body. He builds unity. He takes His word and He sends it out and it does what He wants it to do. Not me. Although my will might be lined up with God's, it's His will being done. We want His edifying spirit here. We want that unity here. We want harmony. Because there is one spirit. There's one body. If we refuse to walk worthy of the calling with which we were called, we're saying no to Jesus. No, we don't want to walk worthy of that calling. When we refuse to walk in humility and gentleness and patience, we're saying no to Jesus. We say no to Jesus when we deal harshly with one another instead of bearing with one another in love. We say no to our Savior when we fail to work together to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's the truth of it. And I know this isn't an easy message. Most of the messages God gives me aren't. I don't know what to do about that, except I say, okay, Lord, He gives me the mail, okay? I'm the mailman. I'm delivering. Y'all can do whatever you want with it, but I'm going to bring it. Somebody said to me last week, yeah, preach that and see how many people stay in your church. I said, well, it ain't up to me. You're going to tell the mailman you can't deliver the light bill? Hey, you got a $1,000 light bill. Oh, I'm not going to deliver that to them. No, 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 no. They won't like me. I just deliver it. What He gives, I deliver. He wants harmony. There's one body, one spirit, just as you were called, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all. He's above all, through all, and in you all, if in fact you are His. And we say no when we seek to disrupt the will of God. We say no when we try to stop what He is doing. And God is the eternal gentleman. We say no enough times, and He's polite. He says, okay, you're on your own. You do it your way. See how that works out for you. Wasn't it Gary Vee used to say, how's that working for you? We refuse to operate in the grace that was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. We're saying no. Pastors are the shepherds of the flock with Christ as the supreme shepherd of all believers. You know, I ran from being a pastor. I didn't want to be a pastor. I didn't seek this out. I didn't try to do this. I tried not to. And I bear the scars of it. Someday I'll give my whole testimony. You'd be shocked. We say no to Jesus, though, when we ignore the fact that He Himself gave some to be apostles, and some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. We say no to Him when we don't agree with Him, because that's who does it. His ministers build unity of the faith and increase the knowledge of God's Son, or at least they're supposed to. If they're His ministers, they will. And so I have to ask, why do so many ministers adhere to teaching that says no to Jesus? Why? If they're His ministers, why are they adhering to teaching that says no to Him? Because the teaching is what's dividing us. Thwart the creation of a perfect man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Perfect man is the united body of Christ. Why are we living in such a disharmonious state? Why are we ignoring that we have this ministry that He gives in a variety of parts to a number of people? All of us are His ministers, one way or another. Why do his ministers adhere to teaching that says no to Jesus? Why do teachers and preachers and evangelists declare a lopsided gospel? Oh, Jesus loves you. God loves you. Oh, yeah, he does. Oh, yes, he does, and he loves you too much to leave you in your sin. That's why he sent Christ. This is why he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish. God wants none to perish, it's written in Peter's epistle. He wants all to come to repentance. And there are some today that say, we don't need repentance. Jesus paid it all. Why do some preachers omit the truth of the need for repentance and turning from sin? Why omit the truth of remaining in Christ as Paul implores people to do? Why do we ignore that part? Because it's so difficult for us to say yes in every aspect of our lives. Because after all, we all have those little pet things that are in our pocket. We want to keep them there. I like this, Lord. Surely you won't condemn me for this. And that could be anything. For everybody, it could be something different. Why omit the truth of remaining in Christ? Why omit the need for repentance and turning from sin? Because that would be speaking the truth in love. That's what's written in Ephesians chapter 4. That folks who believe may grow up in all things unto him who's ahead, Christ. Unity. This is why. Oh, not widely admitted. Yeah, we're trying to just pack up our building. We're trying to fill the seats where we worship. We're building our kingdom. We're great. We also say no to Jesus when we refuse to accept the one that he brings to deliver his message. You know how many pastors are leaving the ministry regularly now? There's a great shortage of pastors, and it's no wonder that the wolves and the goats are able to rush in and fill the need. Because the true pastors of God are being run off. The true shepherds of the flock are being run off. How then, it's written in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Let's run off the preacher. We don't like this guy. He's not preaching the way we want him to preach. Oh, he's changing things. We can't have that. We've been here forever. I've been in this church all my life. Who do you think you are? How many times I've heard that kind of stuff? And that's just not me, folks. It's everywhere. And it's not about the preacher. It's about Almighty God getting his will done. Too often these days, churches are controlled by human beings instead of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Why do so many refuse to accept the man of God who sent to them by Almighty God for the equipping of the saints? Why? Don't they want to be equipped? Don't they want to be equipped for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ? Are they saying no to Jesus? Those who run things only want what they want instead of what God wants. How many times have you heard? And I know when I talk to people, they tell me, you know, hey, they ran that pastor off. The people who are running things only want what they want instead of what God wants, and they disrespect those whom God brought to lead them out of the Egypt of their sin. They run off the people that God chose to lead them out of the wilderness of rebellion. That's what happens. By running or chasing off the pastors, they say no to Jesus. Unfortunately, sometimes he says, you got it wrong. We're going to fix this. And it takes people of God to make the changes that are necessary to get into harmony with what the Holy Spirit wants for the body of Christ. I think we've got a good bunch here. I think we can praise God for that. I think we can thank God that He has gathered people together that said no to the world, that say no to the false religion, that say no to denominationalism, to say no to human traditions, to say no to the teachings of men, and say yes to Almighty God. Those who run off pastors are like obstinate children who throw tantrums every time they don't get what they want. That's the truth of it. They stop the Word of God from flowing consistently. And then what happens? People are starving spiritually. They're starving. And, you know, God said He's going to send a famine, but not a famine for food, a famine for His Word. And I think that we, at least in this nation, I don't know about anywhere else, but I think in this country, we have a famine for the Word of God. And I think it's starting to show up. It's starting to be realized. People are starting to realize, you know what? We need God's Word. This is what's missing in our lives. This is what's missing in the church. You get somebody who says a line of Scripture. This is my text for today. And then they go everywhere but where the text leads. Off the context. Onto some railroad track of denominationalism, or railroad track of tradition, or railroad track of anything but God's Word. Because after all, God's Word doesn't always feel good. We want you to feel good so you come back. Make sure you put your money in the plate. Personally, I don't care if we pass a plate. I'll hang a box back there and y'all can put your donations in there, because that's between you and God anyway. It doesn't have nothing to do with me. That's all about God getting what He has asked you for. And you can either say yes to Him or you can say no. That's up to you, because you're the one who has to answer to Him. I don't have to answer to Him. If I give you His Word, I know my hands are clean. Just like Paul said repeatedly as he wrote his epistles. They don't want the Word of God because they've grown comfortable in their sin. They say no to the Word of God. Oh, we want that good feeling stuff. Give us some cotton candy. How many of you that have had children don't know this? Tell me you don't know this, and I'll say, nah, I don't think you're right there, because when you have a child, the child gets a taste for something, they lean toward that which they have a taste for. I say it's a candy bar. How many kids would take a steak over a candy bar? No, the steak is going to win. Okay, let's face it. Piece of cake, piece of steak. Now, us who are grown, we can appreciate some steak, right? So especially something that's tender, well-flavored. I'm making your mouths water, I know, and lunch is coming. We're having some pulled something or other, some kind of roast. Beef or I don't know, whatever she's making something really good down there, and everybody's welcome to join us. Anyway, here's the other thing about when they run the pastors off. People can't learn the Word of God, and they can't keep the commandments that they haven't learned. And so they feel excused. Because as soon as the pastor comes in and he starts saying, hey, here's what God's Word says, you're not lining up. I'm going to run this guy out of here. He's been here too long. We also say no to Jesus when we refuse to learn His message, when we refuse to deliver it to those who are lost. Because you got to learn the message. You have to learn the Word to be able to share the Word with others. Our Lord's made His disciples to be His hands and feet in taking the gospel to the lost. His Word's perfectly clear on that. There's no debating it. He said, go into all the world. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you? Oh, wait a minute. We're not supposed to teach commandments anymore. We're liberated. We're under grace. You got a mixed up understanding of grace. Grace enables you to teach the commandments of God. Grace enables you and empowers you to teach the commandments of Christ. Grace enables you to stand up for the Word of God, no matter who opposes it. It's the grace of God that gives you the power to do what it is that God calls you to do. Grace. Oh, glorious grace. He said, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's in Matthew chapter 28. He also said, those who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. Now, where did John get that? Remember, we read the passage from John. He said, if you say you love, you know him and you don't keep his commandments, you're a liar. He said, those who love me, and you know, the knowledge in the Bible is often a very intimate knowledge. It's the knowledge that a wife and a husband have of each other. It's that type of intimacy. And when we know him, we keep what he asks us to do. He makes it clear. He said, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. And those who hate him, conversely, are not loved by the Father. Oh, God loves everybody. He loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten Son. But don't be a consistent worker of iniquity and think that God loves you. It's not happening. He makes it clear in his word. It's absolutely clear. There's no disputing it. And yet, the teachers of theology teach God loves everybody right where they are. Well, better take it up with him. That's not what he says. And in most cases of conversion that are recorded in the book of Acts, our Lord used a disciple to tell the good news. In most. When it came to Paul, he knocked Paul down on the ground and Paul was converted. But in most other cases, it was another believer, such as yourself, somebody who had received the word and it was implanted in them by the Holy Spirit, and they were empowered by the Holy Spirit to take that word out into the world and share it with others. But how can you do that if you don't know the word? How can you do that if you run off the shepherd? You can't. And churches die because of that. The body of Christ is sick. Can't thrive under these circumstances. We need to know the Word of God. It is our operation manual. It is how we operate. It's the guidebook. He hasn't changed. Still works the same way. You, he said, go. You, go. You, go. Preach the word. Teach. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort. Not just exhort. And so many are in the habit today of exhorting. I want to make you feel good. Need you to come back, brother. It's all about you. No, it isn't. Sorry, I know that doesn't feel good, but it's all about him. You're a part of him. And so in relationship to how you are a part of him, then it's about you. Keeping the good news to ourselves, the same as saying no to Jesus. How much do you have to hate somebody not to tell them about eternal life? You hinder him from collecting the souls that he bought and paid for. Because it isn't about us. It's about him getting what he paid for. You really love the Lord your God? You really love your neighbor as yourself? If so, then why not tell him about the Savior's souls? You're the hands and feet. And you're to be a united hands and feet. Not the left wing and the right wing. The upstairs and the downstairs. This demonization and that demonization. We're to be the body of Christ. We're to be out there saving those souls by bringing them the good news. And what are we doing instead? Got our own little kingdom. We're going to just tighten it up. We're not letting anybody in. We're not letting anybody out. Right? Hey, you know, I see this with pastors all the time. Afraid of losing people. And I tell them, if somebody that meets in this building thinks that they need to be somewhere else, I think they need to be somewhere else. Not here. I'm not going to have them stir up discord and strife in this building. We're trying to glorify God. We are seeking to glorify Almighty God. And if people refuse to repent of their wickedness, then they can go anywhere they like. They don't have to be here. If you really love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself, You don't want to say no to Jesus this way. You want to go. You want to teach. You want to preach. You want to give whatever it is that he gave to you to somebody else. And if you can't muster up the courage to do it, grab him by the scruff of the neck and bring him in this building and I'll do it. And y'all know that. I'll preach the word. I will proclaim his word. I will live in his will. Every day, countless souls die with no hope of everlasting life. It doesn't have to be this way. If more believers would make the sharing of the gospel their primary concern. I'm going to just give you a brief testimony of a time. I was sitting in a pew, and the floor was all oak. Pews were oak. And there was a fellow that was preaching, and it just sounded like noise to me. And I put my head down. I had my head on the pew, and I'm looking at the floor. And as I looked at the floor, I had a vision of the floor opening up, and it was burning. And in that hole in the floor, I saw souls that were burning in the fire of hell. Now, you think that didn't motivate me? I started shaking. I started trembling. I started crying right there. And the woman that was sitting next to me put her arm on my shoulder. She said, John, are you okay? And it was as real to me as you are here in this room. I was looking into the depths of hell, and I saw those souls, and I wanted to jump up and yell and say, quit yakking, tell the people are perishing. There are souls that are dying, and we need to get out there and bring them what God has for them. Help God to collect those souls that he bought and paid for. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about him. And that motivated me, and you see that. You see it. You see it in me saying yes to the Lord and however it is that he wants me to preach. You see that in me being overwhelmed by his spirit and allowing him to speak through me. You see it in me not watching the clock and saying, I better hurry it up. The people are going to get upset because I'm going too long today. It happens. The enemy comes in. Oh, you're going too long, John. You better step it up, buddy. You're going to lose people. I'm preaching like that now. You're going to have people run out the door. Sadly, too often those who call themselves Christians pursue anything but God's will. And now I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to save this last point for another message. And as I wrap it up, I want you to resolve to say yes to Jesus. I want you to resolve. And I mean, it's like you said, that's it. I'm going to say yes to him. In every way, in everything, all of my life, from here on forward forever. I don't want to say no to him. I want to say yes to him. I want to be used mightily of him. I want him to take me and use me to be his minister of his grace for his glory. Not my own. That I would be his pastor, his shepherd, the under-shepherd of Christ who serves his people. What he wants them to receive. Say yes by being overwhelmed in and by his Holy Spirit. Say yes by uniting harmoniously as his body. Say yes by accepting the one that he brings to deliver his message from God's word. Not some teaching that was received. Say yes by learning and sharing what he taught instead of human commandments. Be his hands and feet. Be his hands and feet. Be a united hands and feet. Say yes by turning from all of those things that are opposite of his will. Say yes so that in us and through us he may accomplish his full desire. And that's to unite us. That's to build us together as a dwelling place for Almighty God. That's what His Word calls us. A temple. Say yes to collect the souls He bought and paid for. Say yes to build that everlasting treasure that He builds through us. Say yes to Jesus. Hear what He has to say. And then do it. Do it. Don't just hear it. James says faith without works is dead. It's like a guy that looks in the mirror. sees his face, turns away, and forgets what he looks like. Say yes to Jesus. Don't say no. Let's pray. Father, I ask that You would guide us, all of us, Lord, that we would say yes to You, that we would be those who live for You, sold out completely, totally, I pray, in Christ's mighty and magnificent name, and all of God's people said, amen, amen. Long scattered Thy children, O Zion, have been, but now they are gathering home. The Spirit is calling, they gladly obey. With songs of rejoicing they come. Thy children are gathering home. With joy they are gathering home. From all the divisions in which they were scattered, Thy children are gathering home. False shepherds divided and scattered the flock, and hirelings ruled o'er them for gain. But back to their fold on Mount Zion's fair height, they come to forever remain. Thy children are gathering home. With joy they are gathering home. From all the divisions in which they were scattered, Thy children are gathering home. To unity glorious, rich and complete, one faith and one body, one Lord, one way and one Spirit, one hope and one God, they come at the call of His Word. Thy children are gathering home, with joy they are gathering home, from all the divisions in which they were scattered, Thy children are gathering home. Sectarian walls shall no longer divide. False teachers shall lead them no more. True pastors shall feed them on heavenly food. Their sorrows and sighings are o'er. Thy children are gathering home. With joy they are gathering home. From all the divisions in which they were scattered, Thy children are gathering home. Praise be to God. Now, if you will, please stand for the benediction. Father, we thank You that You and You alone are sovereign. And we ask, Father God, that You would lead each of us to walk on Your path. As we go forward in Your will and Your way, may we be fully united. May we be that body that's called together by Christ. We pray that You would use us and use us well, Father, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. You are dismissed. Let's gather together downstairs for a bite to eat. Praise the Lord.